Thank you very much, Holger. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, from my side. I want to give you an overview over our latest results on analysis of 100% renewable power systems. Although I have to say here, it's not different than several power systems, but it's a European power system. We might extend it to different countries or continents at some stage, but that takes time. So the outline of my talk is very quickly to tell something about the goal that we have in our study, then the input data we use, and then obviously on the model that we develop for the European renewable power system, and then some results on the deployment strategies, basically on the spatial distribution of renewables in Europe. There are two scenarios that we have computed so far, and then the impact of overinstallation of renewables and the impact of hydro when we include it. And in the end, some results on efficient feed-in monitoring. These are pretty preliminary. And then I will sum up my talk. So the goal is to study the European power system driven by renewable energies. There are very high prerequisites for a small university research group, because we need a whole model of the European renewable power system. So this has to be implemented and coded. And we need renewable time series. That is something where we have longer term experience in. So that is not the major task. So furthermore, the constraints and constraints that we deal with at the moment are intra-country copper plates that we consider for each country, and no losses for transmission and storages so far. And what concerns this talk today, we will have equivalent usage or terminology when we speak about backup and storage. This is kind of equivalent. That also means that there's no smart storage management. So we will not use the storage while looking into the future with forecasts and so on. The key issues always in these kind of studies is, from my perspective and probably perspectives from all of you, is what is the best configuration in the infrastructure for the future renewable power systems in, let's say, 2050, in the year 2050? What is the best configuration? What is the best way and path to get there? And when we do these studies now, what are the uncertainties? Because I'm pretty sure you all agree they are enormous on your assumption and constraints of your model. The input data, very quickly, for renewables, we use simulated wind power. Those are from downscaled MERA reanalysis. We use photovoltaic from irradiances from the Meteosat satellites. Also CSP is coming, the direct normal irradiance from the Meteosat images. And furthermore, we model hydro from ERA interim reanalysis and wave using wind speeds from the downscaled MERA reanalysis. We all do that for 10 years, for 2003 to 2012, and the load data is on country level from the ENTSO-E. As we are looking into the year 2050, there are substantial e-mobility present, and also heat pumps for heating for the heating sector. So we modify the load profiles from ENTSO-E according e-mobility and heat pumps. So that is also pretty uncertain, because we do not know yet how the penetration and how the usage will be of e-mobility and heat pumps in 2050. The renewable shares are from a kind of meta study issued by Fraunhofer ESI in 2011, also for the year 2050. The shares of installations of hydro, wind, PV, CSP and wave are given here. Onshore wind, the green bar, is by far the highest share. Also when we compute with our time series the generation from that, so around 40% is onshore wind, followed by offshore wind, which is a dark green here, and then followed by hydro and PV. CSP is only the European share, so pretty minor. In some of our studies we also include North African CSP resources. Yeah, very quickly to the, or briefly to the model that we use. So we have several nodes. You probably have seen the layout on one of the previous slides with all the interconnections of the European countries. So we assume nodal balancing for each country, and there the generation, backup, transmission, storage, load, and curtailment of renewable energy must be zero all the time. The renewable power generation is, as I said, the sum of wind, solar, which means photovoltaic and CSP, plus hydro, the H, and then wave. The share of renewables in, for the results that I show here is always larger than 1. So equal or larger than 1. That means it's a fully renewable scenario. The quantities of interest are the backup energy that is used in total, that is always scaled with the yearly consumption in of whole Europe. And please remember again, backup energy also means energy that might come from a storage. A different quantity is a backup capacity, so which instantaneous power is needed to come from backup or from storage. We use the 99% quantile, not to be so dependent on assumptions in modeling the renewable feed-in and the whole power system. The same is true that we use the 99% quantile for transmission capacity between countries. So the distribution of the flow between countries is evaluated here. And another quantity we are interested in is the storage reservoir capacity, CS, which is the supremum of the integral when we subtract from the balancing the possible curtailment and the transmission. The modeling of transmission, this is one of the major parts here for us as meteorologists. We do it rather simple using the DC approximation for a Kirchhoff flow. That means we only consider active power, voltages are constant, and the phase angles between different countries are small. Furthermore, we neglect resistances at the moment. So that is something that will become the first issue to improve it and to make it more realistic, to add resistances. So the injection pattern then is given by the Laplace operator, or the Laplace matrix applied to the phase angles, and is equal to export minus import in each country. And then furthermore, in the minimization of the balancing, this is done as a first step, so the sum of balancing for whole Europe should be minimized, and this is subject to that the conservation of energy, which is that the sum over the transmissions must be zero. So conservation of energy here, and if we want, we can constrain the net transfer capacities to certain limits. In the second step, we do a minimization of the squared flow to avoid ring flows, because they can be included in this first minimization of the balancing. So the impact of spatial deployment, I said we computed there two scenarios. One is very simple. You can see it's a homogeneous scenario. The share of renewable is 1 in each European country. So therefore, all this here is in blue. And the second scenario, we call it inhomogeneous scenario. That means over or the average of all, when we average and look at all European countries together, the share of renewables is 100%, but it may vary from country to country. And all the countries here marked in the dark green, for example, UK, they have a very high over-installation and over-capacities and renewables, and will supply the rest of Europe with that. And all the red countries, there the share of renewables is below 100%. Again, storage and backup is used equivalent in the following results. Furthermore, the CSP, hydro and wave is not included. So now these are some results on the transmission capacities. Remember, these are the 99% quantiles, and they are given here in gigawatt between different countries. So really the highest transmission capacities are between UK and France, followed then by between Spain and France, and so on. The different colors, that is now the difference between the two scenarios we looked at. Red is for the inhomogeneous scenario, and the greenish color is when all European countries have equal share of renewable energy production or generation. And you can see that in such a scenario, the transmission capacities that are required between the countries are decreased very much. Furthermore, in the next slide, I will show you the average usage of the transmission links. Here, the higher is the usage, or the average usage in percent, the better, because the link then is more economic. Okay. So you can see here in a homogeneous scenario, the average usage is slightly higher. Then I come to the reduction in storage energy by over-installation. So the over-installation is the generation share alpha here, and it's displayed against the energy, the storage energy in a yearly scaled with the yearly consumption. So, for example, when we have unlimited transmission, the copper plate in Europe, we have obviously the lowest demand for stored energy, only 15%, and then it decreases. The other extreme is that there is no transmission at all, which is the black line. There, the storage capacity is almost doubled. And some more realistic results is when we use current net transfer capacities, that is the green line, and if we increase them by 50%, so 1.5 the net transfer capacities, it's the red line, and there are also already substantial decreases in storage energy that is needed. If we split that into countries, that can be seen here for the inhomogeneous layout and scenario. Red is today's transmission, and if we have unlimited transmission, that is a greenish yellow color. So the storage demand is decreased very much. To wrap that up a little bit, the storage and backup needs in the homogeneous layout and inhomogeneous layout for several transmission scenarios. You can see that if we have no transmission, we have the highest needs. And in the unlimited case, it drops considerably by 50%. The same, or not the same, but what is surprising, the backup capacity that is needed, that is basically around 230, 240 in all our results. That means it's not very sensitive. on the spatial deployment of renewables, nor on the transmission scenario that we use. And as a reference, today in the European Union we have around 700 gigawatt of dispatchable generation. The benefit of hydropower is shown here, again, as storage capacity in terms of yearly consumption over the installation factor for two scenarios. One includes hydro, that is blue then, and you can see that when you use hydro, the either the installation factor is decreased considerably, or the storage energy, that is capacity, is reduced quite a lot. This is a line where which reservoir capacity we already have in Europe these days. The efficient feed-in monitoring, I think I will skip that. To come to the summary, the renewable power system modeled here uses hourly input data for 10 years time series. The homogeneous deployment in Europe leads to lower transmission capacities and lower energy, lower storage capacities. Currently, we are looking at more spatial optimization, even including costs in Europe and per country. And furthermore, unlimited transmission reduces storage energy by almost 50%, and here we will include transmission and storage losses shortly. What I have not shown here for the efficient feed-in monitoring, that a rather low number of reference sites is required for this monitoring. And the long-term vision is to make this all smart when using forecasts, and we will assess the uncertainties. Thank you very much.
So we have time for one or two questions. Please use the mic and introduce yourself.
I speak loud. Fabio Monforti from the Joint Research Center. Thank you for your talk. Just a question. Are you considering or are you planning to consider a share for electricity generated by biomass through, for example, combined heat and power?
No. We are not looking into the detail for that. If we consider that, then we consider it as backup or kind of storage energy.
Okay. Thanks.
My name is Johannes from Case Western Reserve University. A question, you have shown CSP to be low.
Yeah.
And what's the rationale for that, since CSP seems to have the potential to meet base load?
Yes. So that the shares I've shown here, that had been for Europe. For North African CSP that we also want to include in our study or are including already, the shares are higher, the capacities. If you still wonder that the shares are so low, I have to answer that we stick to a kind of meta study where we prescribe the installed capacity of CSP. So this is not fully our view, but we want to model the results of a previous study that I mentioned here already. So if then we can increase this share as well to look at the sensitivity there.
May I ask one more question?
Yeah.
Or is we're done? In terms of power quality, voltage lag, current lag,
yeah.
Does your assumption include that? If not, how do you plan to address that?
This is not included. As I said, it's a DC approximation, so there's no dynamic effects for flows and stability, and I think in the next few years we won't consider that in our model because this is far too complex for.
A question about, so your results, are they presumably sort of average results that you're giving? Have you looked at it sort of extremes?
Not for all of those. Some are average, but for example, for the transmission, this had been extreme. So no transmission at all or copper plate, yes. But we're also looking in between, yeah.
Sorry, I meant so the variability from day to day. So you looked at different extremes in terms of your setup.
Oh, well, we are using hourly time series. So there the extremes are in there, of course.
I was just thinking it might be interesting to see how some cases, I think from a meteorological perspective, mm-hmm. some cases of certain weather will give you real extremes,
huge flows.
Yeah,
we have not done that, but it's a rather good idea to look at some extremes, what happens in different weather situations. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.